Welcome to the Online Writing Insider, a podcast designed to give you an edge in the world of written online content. The Online Writing Insider is hosted by HubPages.com, an online writing community where everyday experts publish, share, and earn from their online articles. Hello, everyone. I'm Simone Smith, and I'm sitting right next to Pia Chatterjee, who is our PR expert at HubPages.com. And today we want to give you some tips on quality writing online, because it is a little bit different from quality writing offline in print media, but it's still equally important, which a lot of people like to forget about, including myself, unfortunately. So Pia, what's one of the biggest tips do you think people should take away from the concept of quality writing online?
You know, so like I write on the side as a hobby and sort of as a side thing that I do. And I write online on a blog and I write for offline print magazines. And
So you do the whole and you've written a novel. So.
And it's very different the way you can approach online writing versus offline writing is more different than you would think, and that this used to surprise me in the beginning. The first thing that I would say, the difference between online and offline writing is how you treat like a single topic within an article. In the offline, in the print world, and you'll see it always in newspapers or in essays that you read or in short stories, the topic can be kind of moves around, if you know what I mean. Like it goes from
you meander
quite a lot, you know, and you can go from one subject to the other and jump around. Somehow this does not work at all, according to me, in an online world.
I totally agree with you, Pia, and I think that it has to do with attention spans.
I think you're right.
In the online world, when we're searching for something, even if it is a short story, we want that. And
exactly.
Just that, and we came there for that, and if we don't see that, we're going to navigate away because it's so easy and there's so much more for us to look at.
That's exactly right. I think that people look for how to make a tart or what George Bush is up to these days.
Yeah, or like ghost story, but they don't want to hear about your grandmother's house. You know?
Exactly, when they're looking for the specific thing. So it's really important that when you're writing on one topic, just stick to the topic and do the best you can. And right in the get-go, in the first paragraph or so, say what you're going to say, you know, so that people know exactly what's coming. So if you're going to discuss like two ways of looking at the same problem, just say it right out there so that your reader is not surprised. People don't like to be surprised online as much, I notice.
Of course, this is so true. And a lot of college writing professors will say something similar, especially with essays. They'll say, oh, it's so important to have a clear thesis. And the funny thing is that isn't necessarily the case in many forms of articles. Definitely not newspaper articles, which always start with a summary of everything at the very beginning. But many other magazine articles and the like are a little bit more meandery. And it's just not right to do that online. And another way, in addition, I think, to adding that very clear introduction in an article online, you should also add a very clear summary that is slightly different from that introduction when you're adding metadata. Or on HubPages, there's a little summary box that you can type into. The point of doing so is that a summary is what someone might see when they see an article that you wrote in search results. That summary is that little bit that explains that article. It's a teaser. And if that's good and if it's clear, you're more likely to get readers before they even click over to your article. So that's key, and that's one thing that's a little bit different.
That's very true. The other thing I would say is in an online world, and be careful with the number of anecdotes you use. This is kind of similar to what I said in the beginning. Just don't keep veering off the story. Whatever it is that you're writing about, if you're going to add a personal detail, say something funny, something like this happened to me and I want to tell you about like a personal point of view, and just stick to that. Like maybe have just one anecdote per 1,000 words. You know, don't have like three anecdotes per 1,000 words, because then it becomes like a collection of anecdotes.
I totally agree with you. And the reason why I don't think anecdotes work as well online is because there are so many distractions.
That's true.
When you're reading an article or you're reading a novel, it's okay for there to be meandering and anecdotes because you're basically just looking at a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're online, or I don't know about you, but I always have five windows open.
Yes, that's very true.
Usually multiple windows are open in one screen.
Yeah.
There are so many other things that are distracting me, just calling for my attention. And if anything cuts my attention for too long, just seconds too long, I'm gone.
Yeah, you know, that's so true, because I think when we are reading in an offline world, what we are doing is reading.
Yeah.
When we are reading in an online world, we're actually doing something else.
Yeah.
And you're maybe commuting, or we want to check something quickly at work.
Yeah.
Or we are ready to cook dinner, but we want like one thing, we want to check a recipe or just like figure out the health benefit of something. So usually when we are reading online, it's kind of, we are fitting it in between 50 other things.
It is the distraction.
Yes.
Whereas usually you're distracted from reading.
Online
reading, as sad as it is the thing that is distracting.
Exactly.
You. And if you don't distract very well, they're gone.
And also if you just distract too much and take them away from whatever they were searching for, then, you know, they're gone too.
They won't be happy.
Yeah.
Nope.
The related point is to organize your article in like readable bursts, you know?
Yes.
So if you're going to say 10 different things about the same topic, or like some 10 different proof points, it's best to organize that into bullet points instead of run-on sentences one after the other, like just and this and also this and then that happened.
So
just
true.
Exactly. So keep it to like bullet points so that people can get to it quickly, maybe highlight the most important part of the bullet point and bold it.
Yeah. And on Hub Pages, when you write articles, you have the ability to separate your text into various what we call text capsules.
Mm-hmm.
Each has its own subheader. It's a great way to break up an article. And because people like to skip around a lot when they're reading online, like we said, they're distracted, they may be rushed, they may be commuting, you need to give people the option to pick and choose. And that's not always the case with printed media.
Yeah. And then, of course, when it's like you're publishing your own article, it's very important to remember the health and hygiene of the article, to make sure that you're referencing all your resources, edit strongly, edit two or three times.
Yes.
Please run a spell check. You know, there's really no excuse.
The tools are there.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
really no excuse for bad grammar and bad spelling, honestly. What else is there? Like, you shouldn't violate copyrights in pictures.
Definitely, yes. You should link to resources that you are quoting. You should definitely make sure that you mind the license of any picture, any text that you borrow, with permission, of course. And if you don't have permission, don't use it.
Don't do online just because you have the ability to do it. Don't do online what you would not be allowed to do offline, I think.
Very true, yeah. And of course, watch out for punctuation and capitalization. One thing about online writing is that we're so used to being extremely informal, never capitalizing, never punctuating, mistakes are totally okay, because what we do online is typically in a higher volume and at a faster speed than we do anywhere offline. Of course, it's not acceptable to have an official published online article in your name and have it be a total mess. And one of the big problems of neglecting to do these little hygienic things, you know, editing and spell checking before you publish, is the first thing that's going to bust your credibility as an author if someone starts to read your work. You know, if they read one or two awkward sentences, notice that you're not really capable of putting spaces after periods.
Yeah.
You know, what does that show about you? I mean, it's making you look like a fifth grader or worse.
Exactly. And, you know, you can be, you can have a PhD in a subject, but if you spell receive incorrectly or accept incorrectly, no one's going to look at your credentials. You know, they'll just
Absolutely.
Assume that you don't know how to spell.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing. And I mean, I do want to say that it's great that online writing enables people to bust through so many barriers.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of amazing authors online who are successful online because they don't have to break through, you know, the barriers that people see before. I mean, as an online
yeah.
or offline writer, Pia, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you've done so many other things like writing books and magazine articles that you know that it can be so hard to even just get to that area, to get Absolutely. Recognized by an editor or a publisher. So it's great that with online articles there isn't that barrier that anyone can write.
it's a democratic environment.
Yeah, and maybe a lot of those people for that reason have a little bit less education in writing, you know, less training than the professional writers that make it to print media, but that doesn't mean that they can totally neglect those things. So if you're not as an expert a writer as you could possibly be, and you don't know how to edit your work, and you don't necessarily know all the grammatical rules that you need to adhere to, ask for help.
Or just check the editing toolbox.
Yeah, we have, you know, and there are so many, you know, like Microsoft Word has tools that can even detect slight grammatical errors, not just spelling errors, but grammatical errors. But ultimately, nothing helps so much as having another human look at your work. So ask for help, and there are a huge number of people out there who are willing to correct your mistakes. On Hub Pages, we have a very, very supporting community of authors on the site, and we also have a big community of people who either weren't really big on writing in school and therefore didn't learn a lot of the grammatical rules out there, or are actually learning English as a second language. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things about our site is that people will send people messages like, hey, I noticed there's a typo in this paragraph of your article. I get those all the time because I make tons of mistakes and I really, really appreciate them. So reach out to other people and have them look at your work. It's a great way to polish it, make yourself more credible, and just get the respect you deserve as an author.
That's very good advice.
So we hope that you are a little bit more careful before publishing now. And hey, if you write just by yourself on a blog or on some site, consider joining Hub Pages too if you want a little bit extra help and feedback on your work, because it's great for that. And of course, joining Hub Pages is free, plus you have the potential to earn money from articles that you publish. So that's a kind of fun benefit. But Pia, thank you so much for offering your tips, because it's just a privilege to speak with someone who is a totally well-rounded, you know, online and offline education, and we can discuss the contrasts, because writing online is different from writing offline, so.
Certainly is. Thank you,
Simone.